mostly country people who had come into town to work at the mill? Or?
Well, I think that I was thinking some of my own, I think some of my family early on left the farm in Moore County and came to Durham because tobacco and textile, you know, were kind of king at that time. And farming down in Moore County was pretty tough. Mm-hmm. So I think some of my forefathers came to Durham from the Moore County farm to work in the textile mill. I think my grandfather, I knew him, he died before I was old enough to know him, but my grandfather on my father's side, I think, was in a timekeeper or something in the mill.
What was his name?
William John. Call him Bill Jack.
Bill Jack?
William John McDonald. Uh-huh. Actually, my brother, younger brother, name was William, and I was a John, and I think we were probably named for my grandfather. Yeah, right.
Do you know how he was it? How did you know how your father, his son, Angus, right?
Yeah.
How did Angus get into the pharmacy?
Well,
wasn't that before there were pharmacy schools, or was there already?
Well, back in the early days, as I understand, he was licensed in 1910, and he opened his own store in 1914. But my father didn't want to work in the mill, apparently. At least he told me that early on.
His dad stayed in the mill.
As far as I can tell, I never knew him because he died before I.
But Angus wasn't
my daddy wasn't interested in the mill, and I think he went down to a little town in eastern North Carolina, possibly called Enfield, and worked in a drugstore down there for maybe 2 or 3 years. And at that point in time, he had got some experience and decided that that's what he wanted to do. And there was a little place, a little pharmacy school called Page School of Pharmacy in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Page
School of Pharmacy. And basically, as I understand what it was more or less a cram school for the state board. And so he went up there and studied up there until he took the board and passed it the first time. But he had the experience, you know, several years experience down east. Then he went to Page School of Pharmacy, and then he took. But he used to kid us saying, listen, it didn't take me but 2 years to get mine, and you had to go 4. And now I understand it's even 5 and going to 6. So, plus maybe a year of experience. So, it could very well be that 6 or 7 years now before the students get their license. But they'll be well prepared when they do get them.
Yeah. Well, when did the mill close?
That's a good question, because it was sold, Irwin Mills was sold to Abney Mills in South Carolina. Abney sold it to Burlington in later years, and Burlington closed it.
And
I don't know what year, probably 15, 20 years ago. I'd say at least good 15. It stayed empty for 2 or 3 years, that mill up here did.
But is that when it stopped seeming like a separate little mill village, or had that changed before?
No, the change began, the mill, I don't recall which one was in charge, but they started selling off the houses to the employees first if they wanted to buy them. In fact, they started, even Irwin started, I understand, about World War II, getting out of the real estate business little by little. And then they sold some of the houses to the employees that wanted to buy them at a very reasonable price. And they slowly got out of the, you know, to maintain that they had to have a maintenance crew and have a this and that, and they had a carpenter crew and a paint crew and this and that and the other. So they sold they sold right much of the property to the employees first, and then later on, I think Duke down Irwin Road purchased right much of the Irwin Mill property.
And they sold off the ball fields and the.
Well, the ball field, they held on to that for a good long while. And I don't recall what year they sold that. I think with the Kenan Oil Company bought it or not. I wouldn't say. I don't remember how. But it's fully developed now.
Yeah, did you used to go down there and watch
the
game?
Oh, yeah. They had baseball team and softball, both up at the. And the people would go up in during the season, and things were so quiet, people leave the front doors open. They didn't lock up anything, go up to the Irwin field or go up to the Irwin Auditorium. And when I was living at night, a lot of times I'd go bang on the front door, maybe at 7 or 8 o'clock. And if it wasn't anybody coming to answer, I just open the door and put the prescriptions on the kitchen table and walk out and go on about my business.
Nowadays the alarm could go off and the dogs would...
the dogs bite the you and everything. Yeah.
That has changed a lot.
That has changed. I mean, a lot of the people would go up to the ball field and go to the auditorium, and it was a pretty close-knit little neighborhood in Jarber.
Are you a nostalgic person?
Pardon?
A nostalgic person. Do you look back and say, or not really?
Not really. You know, you've got to adapt to the time the best you can. You can't live in the past. You can remember the past, but, you know, the future is now.
At the same time, you haven't been changing with the. You've been this island of stability.
Well,
at least that's the way it looks.
Well, I don't know. At the end of World War II, there must have been 25 or so of these little neighborhood stores all over Durham, in every neighborhood. I recall that there were two over on Broad Street, Broad Street Drug and Hospital Pharmacy. There were two on this street, Brewery Drug Store up on the corner, and this one, Chapel Hill Street had West Side Pharmacy. I could just, East Durham had Crabtree, and I could just go on and on. They're all gone now.
Every neighborhood
is gone.
Sounds like you could walk to one wherever you were.
Pardon?
Sounds like you could walk to one every
day. You could just about walk. There was a little drugstore about this size in just about every neighborhood in Durham. In fact, the Bull City Drug, I believe, down in the old pharmacist just passed away. It was 103 or 4 years. And it was within walking, easy walking distance. In fact, on Broad Street, I live 3 doors from Hospital Pharmacy, which was on the corner of Broad and Club. It later on became a bank, and Central Carolina Bank, and then now it's been sold. Another bit of enterprise in there now.
And they had counters.
Most of them had soda fountain, had booze, and had an array of merchandise. In fact, early on, most of the little drugstores carried a lot more things than we carry now. They would have cosmetics that were not available, you know, and all types of beauty aids and. The top line and fragrances and so forth, but no more of the little stores now. The big stores carry the prestige lines. The little stores used to carry the prestige lines, some of them anyway.
How has what you've carried changed? I mean, coming in, and now it looks like... aside from that...
There was a need early on, a few years ago, for health. Health became, you know, became stores to carry on ostomy products. You know, they were doing more ostomy surgery and going to that area and home health care for the people to stay at home instead of having to go to nursing homes and that type of thing up to a point.
Right.
And we had to kind of adjust to that.
So things that mostly for elderly people?
Mostly for the elderly.
And home health oriented?
Home health care products, you know, that would be needed. Walkers, canes, crutches, commode chairs,
right.
All types of things for the people who were staying home that years ago couldn't be kept at home.
How are you doing on time? Did you take steps just to survive as a business? You had all these new chains, the Rexalls, and did you have to do certain things to change? Or not?
Well, we did pretty much what we've always done. I think personal contact is important. And we were able to do that and keep in contact with our customers, provide the best service that we could. And that seemed to work. We had to adjust our inventory, you know, for the change in time. Other than that, we haven't changed a great deal. I believe it was old Henry J. Kaiser said, find a need and fill it. And we try to find our niche in this type of, you know, you look up here and you'll see all sorts of home health care products. We've been Hollister dealers for over 20 years. That's one of the Cadillacs of the ostomy business, Cadillac of the ostomy business. That's been a very successful line for us, among others. So we just kind of slowly adjusted to the thing. And of course, one big advantage we have, 9th Street is probably one of the best strip malls in Durham. We own our own building, and then we kind of control our expenses that way. Otherwise, we might be in a difficulty. The rents on this street are pretty stiff. Not anymore. I mean, such a mobile society now. We probably don't know 20. We've got some few regular customers, but not nearly as many as we used to have. This is a transit area, and people come to Durham for the education, stay here 2 or 3 years, or come here. Durham, in a sense, is a stepping stone for a lot of companies, you know, you move here, right. And then you move on up, or you get your education and move on. So we don't have near the core population that we had years ago. Most of the people we wait on, a lot of them are strangers.
Mm-hmm. You still have a few of the old stalwarts?
Yes, but you know, like the old farms, they kind of disappear. Attrition.
Well, are there incidents over the years that stand out to you that, thinking about the history of the story that you guys just talked about, or other moments or incidents or stories that I just ought not to miss?
I didn't hear you repeat that.
Well, are there incidents? Are there in thinking about the kind of the history of the business, the store, that I ought just not to miss? Things that really marked that were memorable to you, particularly memorable to you or important to you over the years.
Well, I think the things that are important, we've been blessed by Duke University being in close proximity to the East Campus and the West Campus, and Duke, during a hard time, Duke continued to grow and build.
Right.
Duke has been, they have certainly helped, in my judgment, the businesses in this whole area. I suppose that when everything else is kind of slack, Duke continue to expand and grow, and it's been a boon to this area.
When you say that the hard times, you mean kind of after the times after the mill closed, or after Irwin left, or that things
well,
kind of slacked off?
I don't think closing the mill affected many of us, because the time that thing closed and other things beginning to move up, we were getting new businesses like Brugger's, and some of the national chains began to take a look at West Durham and this area. And developers began to look at this area. So the closing of the mill was a blessing in disguise, in a sense, because what's replaced it, you know, has been good economically for the whole area. And of course, they also remodeled into apartments, townhouses, and offices.
Right.
That brought new people into the area that wouldn't have been here otherwise. So the mill stood, I don't know, empty probably couple of 3 years. I don't have the faintest idea about it. But the growth in Durham too, new people coming into the research triangle and still continuing to come in, I would presume. And a lot of the people have settled in the West, and the Watts Hospital, Hillendale, and the Trinity Park area, and the area right around. So I think it's been good for the whole section.
Are you the last of the old businesses on the street?
Probably the last of the family-owned.
Maybe some new small ones.
But I think we may be the oldest in the same family. I think the others have either sold out or retired. I think Barn Supply, Levers, came in right after World War II, about 46. And he retired now.
He doesn't have...
Barn Supply.
He's not in place there by Elmo.
Yeah.
That's not family-owned anymore. He sold it somewhere else.
Well, he sold it. He owns the building, the property, but he sold the business. But he's retired, and he's traveling. He and his wife traveling, enjoying it, I think.
The first place I remember here, I used to come over to, I think it was called Witch Grill.
Witch Grill.
Witch had a fire, didn't he?
Witch had a fire, and both he and his brother both have passed on, I think. And Morgan had a little restaurant two doors down here. There were two little restaurants. And Morgan passed on, and so the little home type restaurants have disappeared on the street. Well, they almost, I think, would be the closest thing now
to something like that.
To like where they would have just stable food.
Right.
And not specialty food. You know, they'd have maybe meatloaf one day a week.
Right.
And and have beef stew one day a week, and some other thing like chicken stew the next. You know, just kind of home cooking style. That's kind of disappeared for specialty items.
I'd like a place like that back here.
Yeah, I'd like one back too.
Well, I think I'm all. Did I own? Big. Is there anything else that we should get?
Well, we've kind of covered. I don't know of anything to add unless you've got some questions that street has changed, the neighborhood has changed. Everything on the street pretty much has changed except this old drugstore. And we're going to keep it pretty much like it is because we enjoy it. And it's, we intend to continue right on as long as we're physically able to.
Sounds like a good point to stop.
Pardon?
Sounds like a good point to stop.
All right.
Thank you very much.